We're going to be in John 6. John 6. Starting at 28, John 6, 28. Let's open in a word of prayer before we start. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word, and I just thank you for allowing us to be here today. And I, Lord, just pray that you would just be with people that are in need this very hour, Lord. We know people out there are just needing to hear your word, needing to know about you, and just people that are not saved, the people that are dying and going to be going to hell, Lord. And we just pray that somehow or other we can reach them, and that your word would be magnified and glorified. And just we thank you now for helping us to learn something new from it, and thank you just for loving us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So John 6:28, and I'm going to be reading through 59 here. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now that any man, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh, and drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So the topic of my lesson here today is, are you hungry? Are you hungry? And this lesson really comes from, and he's not here today, Jacob. Jacob, you know, if anybody, if you've ever been with Jacob for over an hour, you will have heard him say, I'm hungry. And if you've been with him all day, like I have been some days where, you know, if he and I are out doing chores, you may hear it 20 and 30 times. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. You know, and again, I know he's a growing boy. He needs, you know, a lot of food. He needs to get something to eat. But we need to want the bread of life just as though you're really, truly hungry, like almost like you're starving to death. Okay, and quite often in the Bible, when it's talking about hungry, I don't think we really understand it. We probably automatically go right to our stomach, and we think about that we're hungry, and that when you're hungry, you're just something to do with your body, that you're just hungry in your stomach. Job 23:12 says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed." We go again. I always have to do it in Morse code. Is it me or it? I think it just does that once a week. All right. Got it over with now. All right. Job 23:12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. When we are hungry, we know it, right? I mean, everybody, this morning I came here and I was hungry. Katie took care of that. She fed us some food and we ate. And then, but that's our stomach, all right? So we know by our stomachs. When we're hungry spiritually, we know that by our hearts. And when you're hungry physically, your stomach growls. Kim can hear mine. Maybe Mike and everybody else can hear mine sometimes. Your stomach growls. But when you're hungry spiritually, your heart yearns for some spiritual growth. All right, it's very similar to the stomach, and I think that's why the Lord uses this term, hungry, and hunger. So if you're not hungry this morning, you need to be. We need to be hungry for God's word. You know, and back when I would work on houses and rehabbing stuff, whether it was for myself to fix a house up and turn it over and sell it or to work for somebody else, I often would say, if I'm looking for help other than my kids, because they were free help, I only had to feed them. But when I was looking for somebody who was actually going to come in and work for me on these projects, I'd say, I want somebody to come and work for me that's hungry. And I meant that. I want somebody to work for me that's hungry. Because that means they're going to work hard. Their stomach is hungry, and they're going to work hard. They're going to work so that they don't lose that job. They're going to work so they can get another job. And my dad even said, you know, if he had some guy working for him, and he looks over and says, that guy must not be very hungry. And I, at first, I'm like, what do you, I'm just a kid at this time. And he's doing such a lousy job, he's not going to get another one from me. That guy's not hungry. Well, you need to be hungry, okay? And that relates to working, you know, to work hard, to fill your stomach, but it's also to work hard at understanding God's word. A hungry person really wants to eat, and therefore they're really going to work hard so that they can eat. And I like it when the Lord talks about, or the Bible talks about, when Jesus was hungry. It says in Luke 4:2, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Yeah, I bet. 40 days. I don't know if anybody in here has tried fasting for 1 day or 2 days or 3 days. You know, you are and hungered after that. After that, he hungered. So are you hungry? Are you hungry? Are you hungry for God's word? God gives us a promise to bless those that are hungry. In Matthew 5:6, it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So serving God, all right, would be a way, would be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And if you want to be blessed by God, and here and again in Matthew 5, 6, he promises to fill you up. He promises to fill you up. You should hunger and thirst after righteousness. So when you get hungry, all you can think about is food. You know, again, oh man, you know, you pass by a billboard and boy, that looks good. I pass by that Strack sign with that big steak sitting there on Route 2 there. Boy, that just makes me hungry for that steak. And then I've been in there about 3 times and they don't have it, that particular steak. They really don't. It's so expensive, I found out why. But when it was on sale, I bought it for our, I keep calling it Halloween, for our Valentine's. But when you're hungry, that's all you can think about is food. And boy, fast for 3 days. Everything you see turns into food. It's like something over there, something over there. Boy, that looks like food. Oh, what did I smell? All your senses become food-oriented. Are you hungry? Are you hungry for God's word like that kind of hunger? So when you're truly hungering and thirsting after righteousness, like the Bible says, all you can think about is God's word or how you can serve God. And that's the kind of hunger that we need. Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Luke 16:13 is a similar one. "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. And we need to hunger like you've not eaten in days to serve. That's the kind of service we need. That's the kind of service we need from people in this church. You need to want to serve God like you're starving and I've never, oh, I need to, I'm so hungry for God's word and service. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Hunger, you know, people have a, you know, they even say it, and I think Jacob too has this. He has a hunger to learn. It probably takes a long time to do it. Mama has to do most of that. But when I get home, he has a hunger to read to me. He wants to read his assignment to me, his reading assignment. But he's got that hunger. He wants to do it. He really desires that. And it's so similar. It's like hunger. I eat right now. I just ate. Man, that's it. I'm full. I am so full. I'm never going to eat again. I don't want to eat anymore ever. Oh, wait a minute. Unless about 2-3 hours later, you're hungry again. Well, we need our hunger spiritually to be like our hunger physically. It should never be satisfied. And I think that was it, the never satisfied. Our hunger will never be satisfied. And our hunger spiritually should never be satisfied. So one way is by serving God, but another one is and this one's difficult. It's like righteousness living, trying to live righteous. I know, you know, it's not self-righteous because we can't. You know, we have God's righteousness, but God will bless you if you try to live your life in a righteous way. And again, I know it's not, it's our righteousness is from God, and we too often revert to thinking it's our righteousness. It's not, but we try, and we need to try to live a good life, all right? We need to try to do right. And when you try to do right, God will bless you. If you have that hunger to learn, if you have that hunger that's never satisfied of, I'm not satisfied about how I'm living my life. I've got that hunger. I know I'm not. Oh, where, here, it said it. D.L. Moody, "I have never met a man who has given me as much trouble as myself." That's the truth. I didn't even know about that. But when I saw that, it's like, wow, that goes to this part of the sermon. All right? I've never met, you know, I'm the one. So I know we shouldn't be satisfied. We should never be satisfied with, I'm living my life good enough. No, you're not. We should never be satisfied. We ought to be hungry to live a righteous life. And we ought to have a desire to be in his house. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." We ought to know how to behave in the house of God, it says here. And I guess my point is, if you're not in the house of God, how could you be knowing what it's like to be living in the house of God? So we need to be having this desire to be in his house. It should never be satisfied. Our accomplishments so far, our hunger for that, shouldn't end. It should never be satisfied. We ought to hunger for that. A desire to be close to God. Actually, that was going to be my next song, "Nearer My God to Thee." If we went, you know, we could have sang all day instead. "Nearer My God to Thee," a desire to be close to God. Zephaniah 3:1 says, "Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice, she received not correction, she trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God." Psalm 73:28, it says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." You need to have a desire to be close to God. That desire should be just like our hunger. I should have that hunger right now, and I think I'm full. I think I've done enough. I've eaten enough. I never have to eat again. But no, in a couple hours, I should do it again. I'm going to do it again. I have to do it again. Hunger in the Bible is talking about this. That's for our hard of hearing people. Oh, no, it's the blind people or something. Huh? Might be the way I'm wearing it. Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe I got a message. Hang on. No. Ooh, God's sending me a message. Hey, what about this? You forgot that. I forgot a lot. I forgot what I was doing. What am I doing? Okay, where was I? A desire to be closer to God. So you need to have that desire. You need to have that desire like it's never going to be satisfied. You know, as our hunger is never satisfied, your desire to be closer to God. That is a really good song. "Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee." So then, God also gives us a promise of filling our hearts. As we already read in Matthew 5:6, whatever that was, "For they shall be filled." Okay? And then also in Acts 14:17, it says, "Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." Filling our hearts with food and gladness. You know, you got to get this, I guess. It's hunger in the Bible is not just food for your stomach. God wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. God wants us to fill us with his Holy Spirit. How many times is Holy Spirit in the Bible? Anybody? Huh? What's a good number? Seven. Holy Spirit. It's only in there seven times. Some with capital letters, some with little letters. Sometimes the Spirit is, sometimes a holy, both. Anyway, but Holy Spirit's only in there seven times. Luke 11:13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" God wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. But what did that just say? You can't, you know, that's like saying, well, I'm hungry, but I'm not going to do anything about it. Well, I'm hungry for the Holy Spirit, but I'm not going to do anything about it. You know, if you don't go to him, if you don't go to that food, you're not going to be fed. If I didn't come here for Katie's breakfast, I wouldn't have gotten any food. So, and it says here, to them that ask him. So we need to be asking God for his Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And 1 Thessalonians 4:8, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Wow, I don't know why. Fill Me Up Now. Is that another song? Do you know the name of that one? Fill Me Up Now. Da, 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 da. Huh? Fill My Cup? Okay, yeah. So that would be another thing. You know, God is promising here to fill us. But here it's kind of saying, but you need to ask him to. You still have to be an active participant in there. You're not just going to sit there and he's going to fill you up. All right? You need to ask him to fill you up. And the Bible also warns us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And I think that means don't be satisfied. All right? You know, how could you grieve the Holy Spirit? I mean, I'm sure there's probably whole sermons on just that. But I think it means, well, I'm satisfied. I'm happy. I've got enough. I don't need, thanks. I've got enough. Don't fill me up with any more of your Holy Spirit. No, don't be satisfied is where I think that's going. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. And notice that all this is not talking about our stomachs. It's talking about our hearts. In Acts 14:17, it said that, where we just read that, about filling our hearts with food, it says, and gladness. And that's explained a little bit further in Matthew 15:17, I think, when Jesus is explaining that it is not what we put in our mouth that defileth, but what comes out. So it's important about what we put in our hearts. It says, do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draw? Mark 7:19, because it entereth not into his heart, but it enters into his belly and goeth out into the draw, purging all meats. So are you hungry enough to fill up your heart with good Bible preaching? Are you hungry enough in your heart to want to read your Bible and study it? Are you filled up? And what are you filling your heart up with is the other point. What are you filling your heart up with? So this is also talking about a full stomach is fulfilling just for a little while, just temporarily, all right? And as most of you know, Glenn Bob likes a good meal. I like a good meal. I enjoy a good meal. I like the Baptist traditions of potlucks and all that. But I'm also okay with the fact that I can't afford the greatest meal every single day. You know, and I also have probably been out to Outback with a few of you here. I love going to Outback, and that steak and lobster is really good. But you know, if you ate steak and lobster every single day. When our house burned down, we were up at that hotel there, and oh, they had a spread of food there. We were there for 1 month, and they had this spread of food. Man, I'm thinking, well, free food. I'm loving this. But you know what? And it was a big variety. But after the first week, I was already tired of it. And that's our body. That's our flesh. We just get so sick and tired of, oh, the same thing, same thing. Our spiritual life gets just like that. Our spiritual, I'm going to read my Bible now. You know, you read it just because you have to read it. You know, you do this. Oh, man, I got to go to church today. You know, that's our everyday. It's that you need to break that. Just like your food. Yes, maybe you need to stir it up a little bit. You need a little bit of this Bible, a little bit of that preaching, a little bit of this. You do. Sometimes that variety is very good for you. We're going to go into that in a little minute here. So our full stomach is only fulfilling for a little while. But we shouldn't allow ourselves to get the same way with reading our Bible and studying, praying, and good Bible preaching. So don't get complacent and lackluster about these things. Don't do it. Don't let it happen. These promises seem to only apply to the hungry. Okay? And that was another thing. In Psalm 146, verse 7, it says, "Which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry." And that's why I'm saying, if he only satisfies you if you're hungry, if you're not hungry, does that mean he's not going to satisfy you? And again, maybe that's reading a little bit more into this verse than it says, but think about that. Which giveth food, it doesn't end there, to the hungry. Are you hungry? Oh, you're not hungry? Then you don't get any food from God. So you need this hunger. Revelation 7:16, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat." Now this is talking about once after you're saved and you get to heaven, it talks about that, okay? Where God's going to, you won't be needing any more food, okay, and all, because you'll be in heaven. But while we're still here on this earth, we're going to hunger, okay? Your stomach's going to be hungry. And while you're here on this earth, you ought to be hungry for the things of God. It also says that he will feed the hungry sheep. God gave us this Bible to feed us his word. And so he made it so that anytime, you know, sometimes you might get hungry in the middle of the night. You know, sometimes you might be hungry at noon. Sometimes you know, whenever. You can pick up this Bible and get fed. You can be fed right then and there, any time, day or night. Whenever you're hungry, you can go to this for food. But he also said, "Feed my sheep." He will feed us. He feeds us through his book, but we also need to go out and feed his sheep. And there's a lot of people out there just dying. And I've mentioned this one before. I've got this 90-some-year-old cousin living in the nursing home. And last time I visited her a couple weeks ago, I point-blankedly, you know, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ died and went to heaven?" No, you know, "I don't know." And boy, that breaks my heart. But we need to go feed these sheep. John 21:15, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." And of course, that means that we need to feed the young ones. We need to feed the younger kids, which we try to do here. Not real hard to understand that. But then he goes on to say in verse 16, "He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep." We need to feed the sheep. We need to tell other people about this. It also says that we should feed our enemies. Feed our enemies. Maybe that's just the stomach, but probably not. Romans 12:20 says, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And I think here again, God means both physically and spiritually, even your enemy, you should be feeding him. So surely people you love, you ought to be feeding them this Bible, you ought to be feeding them this stuff. So you need to have with this, just like your stomach, a balanced meal, all right? You need to have a balanced meal. And the first thing in that balanced meal is very obvious, the Word of God, all right? The Word of God should be a part of that balanced meal. And just like I said earlier, if you were only eating one food day in, day out, same thing. You know, if you opened up this book and every day you only read the same verse every day, well, maybe you'll get something from it. Maybe something new after 365 days of reading the same verse. But, you know, if that's all you read, if that's all you ate, you get tired of it. You get complacent. You need to read the Word. You ought to be getting a balanced meal. And I don't even remember what the seven basic food groups are, but, you know, there's other things in there, all right? Cake. Yeah, but most of mine got closed down. Twinkies, Susie Q's, what's the other ones? Dressels, cakes are gone. Man, my three basic food groups closed down from bankruptcies and things. But it's the same thing. We have these basic things that we need, and the Word of God is top on that list. The Bible says in Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And Acts 20:28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. You know, that's like Jesus Christ came down here on earth to save the world. And yet, we cared so little about that we aren't going to feed those people that He saved. Think about that. We need to feed those people. He saved everybody. Anybody that wants to come to Him can be saved. But we decided we didn't want to feed them. And they die for lack of us feeding them. So part of that balanced meal had better be the Word of God. The next thing it should be is prayer. Prayer should be a part of that balanced meal. Luke 21:36 says, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So prayer should be a part of our balanced meal when we're hungry to serve God and to do what God wants us to do. But also, preaching. Preaching should be a part of that balanced meal. And whether it's me preaching to one person at work, one-on-one, that's preaching. And some of us are good at that. You know, somebody in here might be better than any preacher that's gone through 12 years of school. But we need to preach. And it might be in a group of people. It might be in front of a group of people. Or it might just be in getting preached at. But preaching should be a part of that balanced meal. Luke 6:21 says, blessed are they that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. And blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. And Luke 6:25, woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. It's like I'm saying, if you think, well, that's it, I'm full, it's saying, not good, woe unto you that are full. So if you get full spiritually and you don't think you need any more to eat, if you think, nope, I'm done, I'm finished learning, you know, I didn't go to Bible school until I was 50-something, you know, I was hungry. That's why I went down there. I mean, I was getting good preaching here, but I was hungry. I wanted more now. I wanted a whole bunch. And I, boy, that's a blessing. But you need to be hungry. You need to want that bread of life, the Bible. Just like you think, the last time I ate physically, and oh boy, it's only been a little while and I'm hungry again, you should want this Bible just like that. Every couple of hours, you ought to be, you know, I'm getting a little hungry again. I ought to read my Bible. You need to get that. Then once you get that bread of life, you need to preach it. You need to pass out that bread to others who may not have that kind of eternal bread, that eternal life, like Jesus Christ was talking about in that first passage we read, that he is the eternal bread. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. We need to preach the word. Another guy at PBI, every so often it was, preach the word! You'd hear it from way in the back, you know, but everyone, but you know what? That's right. That was kind of a blessing to hear that. Preach the word. He was telling everybody in that whole congregation there, maybe 500-600 people, preach the word. He was talking to the guy up front there that was preaching, whoever it was, but he was talking to all of us too. You know, maybe nobody in this room has actually seen a person that was totally, truly starving. I mean, somebody that's really, really, you know, really hasn't eaten in a long, long time. You know, but I'm sure we've all probably seen it on TV or something. I want you to get that image in your mind right now. You know, I haven't eaten in a week. I was out on some stranded island somewhere, although I probably still would have found something to eat. It may not have been pleasant, but I would have eaten it. But you're that hungry, and somebody comes and sets a sumptuous meal before you, you'd be all over that. You would be devouring it. You'd be, oh man, you know, you'd be whatever. You would be devouring that. That's the kind of hunger that we need. We need to devour God's word. We need it to fill us up. And that's what I want for each of us in here today, and how we should deal with God's word or prayer or preaching to somebody or being preached at. We should be so excited about it, about each aspect of that, that somebody looking at you would be like, what? You know, like if you just walked in and you saw that hungry guy eating, well, they ought to look at us and say, what's that guy talking about? Why is he preaching like that? Why is he on the street corner? Why is he doing that? Why are you knocking on my door? Whatever. You ought to be that hungry, because he will fill us up. God promises that. So if you came here this morning with a poor appetite, you know, I'm not that hungry, it's my prayer that when you leave here, you're going to be hungry for God's word. And also, all week long, whenever you get hungry, think about this. Think about God's word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for sending us hunger, so that we can think about your word better now, Lord. We understand it. Thank you for also filling us up. Thank you for filling us up physically, Lord. We are spoiled. We're rotten kids here. We get whatever we want to eat whenever we want it, and we want it now, we get it. But Lord, yet 2 hours later, we're hungry again. Help us to be like that spiritually too, Lord. Help us to just be starving for your word, and just to want to read it, devour your word, and preach it. And just, Lord, we just pray that you'd be with us through this week and give us some good things to do and to be able to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen.